And good morning. It is good to be back at Ballardsville Baptist Church. Last time I was here, I believe it was Father's Day, and my wife was in Berea visiting her stepfather who ended up passing away a few weeks after that. But if you have not met my wife, Tammy, wave at everybody. Now, that would cost me a lunch this afternoon, but that would be all right. But it is good to be back here and share with you the Word of God. And, of course, our prayers are with your pastor and those that are traveling to Houston. Now, let me just update you on one event that is coming up. Our associational annual meeting will be October the 1st at LaGrange Baptist Church. The meeting starts at 4 o'clock. As last year, we have the business session first. Get that out of the way. From four to 5:30, we'll have business session. We'll break for a meal that will be provided by LaGrange. And then after that, at 6:30, we will gather back together in the sanctuary for just a time of worship with our associational sister churches. Now, in saying that, we are planning on having a massive choir from all of our churches. If you are interested in singing in that choir, October the 1st, you need to contact Rick Davison at LaGrange. You can look their website up, email him, and he will give you the times of rehearsal. But we are looking forward to being able to worship together as sister churches, get the business and all those things that we need to do behind us, and gather as churches to worship our risen Lord, because He is worthy of our worship. I would ask you to pray for me. I covet your prayers tomorrow. I'm leaving for Haiti. I have a ministry that I've been doing in Haiti. I've been going since 1984, almost every year. And I will be leaving tomorrow and got some things that I need to take care of. I've had this trip planned two other times and had to cancel it the first time. My father-in-law passed away, so I had to postpone it. The second time I was scheduled to go when the hurricane came through town, so I postponed that again and rescheduled it for tomorrow. My daughter was going, my son was going, and my daughter's boyfriend was going. He just had a one-way ticket and didn't know it, but anyway. But they cannot go with me, so I'm making this one by myself. They'll hit next year. I support my ministry supports about 80 kids as they go to school each day. We provide them their uniforms and we provide them food for the week. There's four schools that we support. I am in the process of building a clinic and an orphanage up in the mountains about 3 hours out of Port-au-Prince. And so you pray for me as we have the opportunity to do that. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to talk about, you see the subject on the screen, triumph in Christ. First, or 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we will read verses 12 through 17. And I will be reading from the King James, and again, the scripture is on the screen also. But if you physically can, will you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning? Beginning in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, to them that are saved, and to them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we open your precious word this morning, I pray that we will allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, that we think about our own lives and our triumph in Christ, the victory that we have as children of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, take your word and place it upon our hearts. Father, if there's anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, may they understand that you died for them, that they could have the very fullness of Christ in God. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there seems to be a discrepancy in who we are, who and what the Bible says we are to be versus many times who we really are. What I mean by that is, one passage comes to my mind is in Romans 8, and I believe verse 37, it simply says that in Him we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. And yet, as I travel, as I've pastored for over 30-some years, and as I travel around, I see sometimes that a lot of God's people is not living as conquerors in Christ Jesus. I'm afraid so many Christians have the idea that we are going to win, yes. But it's like in the last 3 seconds, we kick a field goal and we win the game at the end. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not what Scripture teaches us. Scripture teaches us that those that are in Christ are more than conquerors in Christ. We are more than, matter of fact, that word more than conquerors is only used here in Romans in the New Testament, and it literally means we are super conquerors in Christ. Listen, what that simply means is, I am a super conqueror for no other reason than I know Christ and Christ knows me. And because of that, we can live a victorious life. There's another passage in John says that faith is the victory. And yet many times we have Christians and many people who do not walk in faith and therefore do not live in the victory of Christ. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, like no other passage of Scripture, lays out the principles for us on how we can have a triumphant life in Christ. So what does he say to us? Notice that phrase, and I want to really focus just on verse number 14. And notice that phrase in verse 14 where he says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." That word always causes us to triumph in Christ is literally one word in the Greek. And it literally means he causes us to triumph in a triumphant procession. Now, that phrase in itself does not mean much to us today. But to whom Paul was writing, when they heard that phrase, causes us to triumph in Christ, they understood what it meant. We are so far removed from that language, we don't understand the word picture. But the people that Paul was writing to understood. And so let me quickly give you the word picture, because this word picture connects to everything else that I want to say. And if you really miss the meaning of what Paul is saying, you'll miss living the triumphant life in Christ. Paul, when he uses that phrase, a triumphant procession, he was talking about a custom that was used in their day. And the custom was that when the Roman army had won a battle, they would immediately send a herald running back into the country and back into the city and telling them that the battle has been won and they won the victory. And so, and you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we literally do. We get the word preaching from that word herald. We are to go forth sharing the gospel, letting people know the battle's already been won. And so as we do that, Paul is reminding us, and so when the readers read that phrase, they understood something was about to happen. Because when that herald went through town announcing the victory had been won, they understood that immediately after that, there was going to be a parade coming through town. Maybe they stepped out on their porch that one morning, and they, as a matter of fact, when this happened, when this parade came to town, the priest would use certain incense. That's why Paul makes mention of the fragrance in this passage of Scripture. So if you woke up that morning and you stepped out on your front porch and you begin to smell these certain incense, you'd quickly say, we're going to have a party today. You say, we're going to have a parade. And then they would line the streets. And what they would see next is they would see a gold-plated chariot connected to white horses coming through town. And when they began to see that chariot, they knew that their conquering hero had won the battle, and they would start cheering in the streets. But that wasn't all they saw. What they would see next was the soldiers of the defeated army, the lead commanders, would be chained to that chariot. And they would drag them through town. That's why Paul makes mention. They are being dragged to their death in chapter 4, verse number 10. So what you would see on this day and what the people around them understood when Paul said that he causes us to triumph in Christ, they understood there was going to be a parade, there would be a chariot with their leader in that chariot, but the defeated soldiers would be behind it, chained to the chariot. Paul is taking a custom of that day, and he is Christianizing it, so we'll understand. And literally what Paul is saying is, one day in my own life, I was an enemy of God. One day in my own life, I fought against what God wanted. But God has captured me. God, through my faith in Christ, has captured me, and now I am under the authority and the lordship of Christ, and I am chained to his chariot. This is what Paul is mentioning. If I was to ask you a question this morning, it would be, are ye chained to the chariot? He is our conquering hero. He has defeated death, hell, and the grave. He has called us unto himself. We are no longer, as Ephesians says, enemies with God, because he's done conquered our lives. Matter of fact, Paul even says in Romans that it is the love of Christ that constrains me. That's why he persuades men. That word constrain is the word in the original we get handcuffed from. Paul is saying, when I think about the love of Christ and what he has done for me, I am handcuffed to him. How much do you think about how much Christ loves you and Christ has done for you? What I'm trying to get us to understand is if we are going to be more than conquerors through Christ that loved us, if we are going to be able to live the victorious life, he has to conquer our lives. And we have to be chained to the chariot. Now, in saying all of that, I've got three things to say. Number one, I want you and I to understand this morning that this victory that we have in Christ, this triumph that we have in Christ, is God's victory through his Son. It is not our victory. It is God's victory through His Son. Notice verse 14, now unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. If we are going to win the battles of life, it will not be upon our own strength. It will be not upon our own might. It will be because we remain chained to the chariot and we follow the victory that God has already won. Chained to the chariot. We people all the time say, you know, I just got to go out and win the victory. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You, we need to be reminded that every victory that you and I will ever need to win has already been won at the cross of Jesus Christ. Every temptation that you will face and I will face, Christ has already overcome it. And we got to stay chained to His chariot. It is God who causes us to triumph in Christ. You say, well, preacher, I'm not sure I like that chained up stuff. Well, absolutely none of us do, amen? Truth of the matter is every one of us would like to be up sitting beside the Lord, wouldn't we? Matter of fact, if we'd be honest with ourselves, we'd all want to be driving the chariot instead of being in the back being dragged by it. Can I get an amen? There's many times I won't say, Lord, man, can't you put the pedal to the metal? You're just going a little too slow. Can you speed this thing up? Or maybe I'll say, Lord, I don't understand why you're going down this old bumpy road. There was a nice highway back there you just passed up. See, we always want to be in charge of things. And Paul is drawing the picture that if we're going to have victory in Christ, it's got to get out of our hands and understand God's already won the victory. I'm one of those that don't mind the hand raising in the church. And you know, sometimes I see people who say, well, preacher, I'm just afraid things are going to get out of hand. Listen to me, folks. We've had it in the hand long enough. It's time we give it up. Amen? Huh? And just let God be God. This is God's victory, not ours. We go up in the morning and say, I just got to go out and win the victory today, even if it's going to kill me. And sometimes it does. Hello? It's His. I'm reminded of David when he was a shepherd boy. If you look at, remember 1 Samuel 17, they fought some strange battles in the Old Testament. David gets up one morning and his daddy says, David, I want you to take lunch. Read 1 Samuel 17. And as he says, David, I want you to take lunch down to your brothers that's fighting the Philistines. David takes the lunch. And just imagine, here David is. He walks right into the battle and says, here's your lunch, brothers. That's exactly what it is. But they're hiding. And David says, where y'all hiding? And they met, hey, that big old Philistine over there. They said, we'll handle him, David. I can hear David say, it don't look like you're doing a very good job handling him. I believe David comes along and says, I'll take care of him. All right, David. No, I'll take care of him. They put Saul's armor on David, and David says, man, I've never been trained in this stuff. I don't need this. David said, I got my slingshot and five rocks. That's all I need. I'll go take care of him. I can hear his brother say, been good seeing you, David. You know the story. David goes and faces Goliath and looks Goliath right in the belly button and says, this battle belongs to the Lord. And Goliath fell dead. What I'm saying is, folks, what we need to understand, whatever those battles in our lives are, whatever those Goliaths in our lives are, we just got to understand they are God's Goliaths, not ours. Let him handle it. Second thing I would say to you is not only this battle, the Lord's battle through his Son, but it is our battle through submission. Oh, we don't like that word, do we? But there will never, ever be anyone living the victorious life if they're not willing to submit to the Lordship of Christ. Y'all got awful quiet on me there. You must be committed to the Lordship of Christ. This battle is not only God's battle through his Son, it becomes my victorious triumph in Christ when I learn to submit to what God wants for my life. Are you willing to submit to the Lordship of Christ? You'll never find anybody in all of Scripture that lived a victorious life that did not submit to what God wanted in their life. Whether it's a church as a whole, whether it's individuals as a whole, you have to submit. So this victory is not only God's victory through his Son, but it becomes my victory through submission. Notice, go to chapter 4 and verse number 10, and notice what Paul says in this passage. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. Paul says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Listen to this. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus. And then listen to it. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Church, listen to me. We have nothing to offer anybody but Jesus. If we do not offer Jesus, we're nothing more than a country club with a steeple on top. Amen? Jesus is all I have to offer. I may tell you a joke and you can laugh, but that ain't going to do nothing. I may tell you about Mark Payton and that ain't going to do anything. But if I understand that by dying to myself and allowing the life of the living Christ to live through me, be manifested in my life, be manifested in my body, then and only then can I offer a world around me something. I have nothing but to offer but Jesus. And I'm not saying all of our programs and all of our bills, I'm not saying that's not fine. Those are vehicles that we use to glorify Christ. And if we're not allowing him, matter of fact, Paul said in Philippians also that I want, in Philippians 1, that I want Christ to be magnified in my body, whether it's by life or whether it's by death. I want Christ to be made larger. Matter of fact, he says there in that passage, even now also, I want Christ to be magnified. What did he mean, even now also? What is your even now also? Right now, where you're at, what you're doing, where you're at in life cycle. Even now also is Christ being magnified. Where was Paul when he wrote the letter Philippi? In jail. And he's saying, even in jail, even now also, in the state that I am in these chains that I am, have bond, my bonds on my feet and on my hands, even now also, I want Christ to be magnified. Christ can only be magnified when we submit ourselves to Christ. Paul says, He conquered me one day. And now I am being dragged to my death so that Christ might be magnified in my body. If you're going to walk, and if I'm going to walk in the triumph of Christ, I've got to be submitted to Him and Him alone. Well, not only is there the simple fact that Christ or the battle is God's through His Son, not only is it triumphant life in Christ when I submit and it's my triumph as I submit to Him, but I can also have triumph in Christ in any and in every situation. Go back to 2 Corinthians 2. And look at verse 14 once again. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us, listen to this, in every place. Did you notice those two phrases? He causes us to triumph in Christ, which always causes us. That's time. And then at the end of verse, in every place. That's space. We are time and space people. Paul is literally saying that it is God who is able to give me the victory in Christ any time, in any situation, anywhere around the world. You name the place, you name the time, and God can give us victory no matter what we go through. You see, folks, we are no different than a lost world in that we suffer just like they suffer. We go through trials and sufferings as they go through them. It rains on the just and the unjust. But the difference is we understand that because Christ loves us, we are more than conquerors in any situation, in any place, and in every place. It doesn't matter what we go through. Can I encourage you this morning? I don't know what report you got from the doctor. I don't know what you're facing in your physical life, but I know this. There is not one thing that you can face in your physical life that will ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because you're more than conquerors. Whatever it is, the worst it can do is be the doorway to heaven for me. Hello? Be the vehicle in which I enter into God's presence. So Paul says that I have this victory always and in every place. But what's the key? Staying chained to the chariot. Listen to me, folks. If I were to ask you or you were to ask me, what is our number one responsibility? Just take my position as D-O-M. Somebody might say, but my number one responsibility is simply being an overseer of the churches. No, it ain't. Take my position as a husband and a father. Somebody might say, your ultimate responsibility is to be the provider, to love your wife and to your kids as you ought to. No, it ain't. Let's take your pastor for a minute. His number one responsibility is not making sure he's around when you need your nose blowed all the time. Hello? I'll even go as far to say his number one responsibility is not even preparation of the Word of God. You say, now, preacher, you're stretching it. No, folks. My number one responsibility and any other child of God's number one responsibility is to make sure I stay chained to the chariot. To make sure that I have an intimate relationship with God on a daily basis. To make sure that I remain filled with the Spirit of God. Because only then can the outflow of Christ be made manifested to anyone. And all the other things will fall in place. But my number one responsibility and your number one responsibility as a child of God is to stay chained to the chariot. Always dying to self so that Christ might be magnified and manifested in my life. In every situation and in every place. I thought about this a lot. And as I close, let me just remind us of two things. That if we remain chained to the chariot, and if we are going to have the victory that God has already won, first thing we have to remember, is I'm chained to that chariot and I'm dying to myself on a daily basis. Number two, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, if I'm chained to the chariot, I'm always walking on conquered ground. Why is that? Because my conquering hero, the Lord Jesus Christ, has already conquered everything. That's why he is the commander. That's why there's the parade. That's why he's in charge of the setting in the chariot. And those that have lost the battle is chained to it. It is a picture that Christ has already conquered the ground upon which I'm about to take because he is my conquering hero. So if I find myself in a hard place, it's because he led me there. And if he led me there, it's already conquering ground because he's won the battle. And through that, we have victory and living a triumphant life. Staying chained to the chariot. Because every step I take, he's already conquered it. I'm thankful this morning that no matter what holds tomorrow, my God is already there. He's already won the battle for me. How do you live? How can you claim I am a super conqueror in Christ because he loves me? Staying chained to the chariot. Because God has already won the battle through his Son. It is my victory through submission, and it is my victory in every circumstance and in every place because He's leading me wherever I go. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, quit fighting with Him. He's going to win the battle. Safest place you and I will ever be, whether we like it or not, the safest place we'll ever be is chained to that chariot. Because when we are chained, we know we're walking on conquered ground. Lost person, do you need to come to Christ? Get chained to a chariot? He's promised never to leave you. He promised never to forsake you. He's promised to always give us victory in Christ. Christian friend, maybe you're here this morning, you are not living that triumphant life in Christ. Because really, symbolically, you're the one that's been driving the chariot and not God Himself. See, many times we want to have Him chained behind us and drag Him wherever we want to go. God says, no. I'll do the driving. And I'll make sure wherever I take you, it will be on conquered ground. Let's pray.